This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour here, championship rounds here on Live Bet Saturday. I am reporting live from the Mint Gaming Hall here in Franklin, Kentucky, right above the Circa Sportsbook. I am Brad Taylor, along with Will Hill. We are keeping an eye on the NFL and the Major League Baseball going on right now. And without further ado, let's talk a little baseball. He is the MLB analyst for CBS Sportsline, Angelo Bagliocca. Angelo, how are you today, sir?
What is going on? Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate being here and chatting some baseball with you.
Thank you, Angelo. Thank you for joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. We were talking about this a little bit before we came on the air in terms of maybe National League Rookie of the Year. That's kind of my favorite topic right now. I'm here in Kentucky. We're in Reds country. Sal Stewart is still an underdog for this National League Rookie of the Year, although he just tied the Major League lead for RBIs. How in the world can Sal Stewart still be an underdog and he's going to lead the league in RBI? The voters can't give it to Weatherholt, even if he does that, can they?
Look, the voters in the end, I hate to say it, but like they have a few things they look at. And one of them, the main things, is war. And you get that defensive piece from Weatherholt, which adds to that war. And I get that, you know, it's kind of the same argument where I've been going for Ohtani for MVP instead of PCA. I get that the defense is important. Yes, it is. But at the end of the day, there's still a rookie, you know, leading the MLB in RBIs. At some point, that type of history is something I would rather, you know, take over than just, you know, another analytic. You know, there's so many analytics, but that's something historic that a rookie is doing, and I'd rather see that be the award winner.
How about the other award that I find very fascinating? Ohtani's won a million of these awards. Feels like he wins it every year, whether it's the American League, the National League. He's got some good pitching stats in the bank, but not his typical year, both sides of the plate. Crow Armstrong, obviously a worthy contender. Do you think the voters have a little fatigue? Both guys kind of a coin flip to win now. How would you handicap the NL MVP race?
I think if you didn't get on PCA even a few weeks ago when it was, you know, 15-20-1, you kind of missed the boat there. And now you've been presented with an opportunity to get a guy that has, you know, under 2 ERA, almost 100 innings. He should be back on the mound. I mean, they were already talking about him getting back on a mound this week to do some progressions and, you know, start to, you know, begin some level of throwing. So I do think he pitches at some point before the end of the season, if it is just, you know, maybe a few starts or even a couple, but like just getting towards that triple digits, 100 innings, I think it really should be Ohtani. I think you're presented with a good opportunity to bet on a two-way player here that, you know, yes, I get the fatigue. In the end, I think PCA probably has been the more valuable player to his team, right? But this is still a guy in Shohei Ohtani that's doing something that we just have never seen on both sides of the ball. And you look at I mean, it's an under 2 ERA for almost 100 innings. Like, he was stifling teams, you know, quality starts. Like, he really was doing it all. So you've got to tip your cap to that. In my opinion, he's the MVP. It is one of the more fascinating ones, though, where Ohtani was a massive favorite, you know, into June there, right? And then all of a sudden, it just completely flipped now where it's a coin flip. It's crazy, crazy, crazy bet. But I've got some Ohtani shares I really would hope work out.
We've had a big day here in Major League Baseball. We got a couple more games coming up later, and those are for the hardcore baseball fans and gamblers like us. Royals at Angels, Rangers at Athletics. Do you have any opinions on those two games? Would you be leaning anyway from a handicapping perspective?
So, you know, Reed Detmers does have some great strikeout stuff. It's just the lineup that he opposes, you know, it really doesn't present a ton of strikeout opportunities, whether you're a left-handed pitcher or right-handed pitcher. I guess if you're a lefty, you do get the advantage of having guys like Jack Caglione and, you know, Carter Jensen, Michael Massey, where they are going to be in the left-on-left matchup and more likely than not playing against the lefty. So maybe there are some strikeouts in there, but under 6.5 to me, you know, looked like the way to go if you were going to bet much of anything in that game. And again, you know, it's if you want to bet against the Angels for strikeouts, you can. I'm not going to back Dobnak, but it, you know, it's just, you know, if you want to bet him for strikeouts, you can. They seem to strike out, you know, every single night you could bet some strikeouts. But yeah, just looking at Detmers there at 6.5, I was going to take the under.
All right, Angela, I come to you from the future, and we're sitting here late October, and holy crap, this team made the World Series. They came out of nowhere. Who is that team in your mind?
Ooh. Honestly, right now, it almost feels like the Yankees. You obviously can't really say that based upon the odds, but we were already talking about the fact that they have struggled mightily at the plate. So do we really think that in a month, the Yankees are going to put all the pieces together and get Judge back and get Bellinger back and, you know, have Lombard? Like, I really don't think that that's going to happen. I will be pleasantly surprised if that happens. I've been a Yankees truther for most of the season, but without Bellinger, the offense has looked terrible. Obviously, Judge hasn't helped. So I would almost say the Yankees. But you know what? This NL East is probably going to produce two of the best teams that I think we can see in the postseason with the Braves and the Phillies. I think maybe one of those teams, and I would say the Phillies just because they're, a bit better odds and everything like that. Wheeler has had some struggles lately, but if you put Wheeler up against any team, and then you also have Christopher Sanchez, Jesus Luzardo backing him up, I think the bullpen will figure out some of those issues in the end. Duran will probably be fine in the back end. So, it's really more about, is the Phillies offense going to hit? They've got some veterans that, hey, when push comes to shove, they can put up a big professional at bat for you. And, we saw Kyle Schwarber with a couple homers the other night. Just when you think the power has been sapped from his bat, he comes back with a couple of home runs for us. So they could definitely surprise some people. And there were some good odds out there, actually, even for them just to make the NLCS was near 5-1, I believe, about a week ago. So I haven't checked on the odds there, but I wouldn't mind something like that.
There's some really big names going tomorrow, Angelo, in the pitching world. We got Scooble going up against the Brewers. We've got Cease going up against your Yankees. And Paul Skeens going up against the Red Sox. First of all, I'm not sure how Skeens should be favored in this game tomorrow. But of those three pitchers, those big names, which of those three do you think has the better game and the better chance to cash us a ticket tomorrow?
Ooh, that's a good question, because if you're thinking about some strikeouts, I actually think it might be Dylan Cease. The number is 8.5, and you're going to be right around even money for the over. But this Yankees lineup can and will strike out a bunch. Cease has just some elite stuff. So I'm looking at ways to bet Dylan Cease for strikeouts tomorrow, whether it's attacking individual batters or the full game total. I think there might be some strikeouts there. You might even be able to go with Toronto on the money line plus Dylan Cease at like 7 strikeouts and get a pretty good price there. Different ways to attack Cease, I think, would be a good way to go. I am not going to put any money behind Paul Skeens right now, I'll tell you that much. That is one place I'm going to wait out. I think besides the velocity and the way that some of the stuff under the hood looks, I really think just like from a confidence perspective, he has been rattled and just the confidence is kind of shattered right now. So we'll wait to put my money down on, Paul Skeens, but Scooble I would be fine with as well. I think that last start too, he really wanted to be pushed more, and the Dodgers wanted him to push a little bit more than they were able to. Just some of the, issues that he ran into. It is what it is. I wouldn't be surprised if he had like a nice long outing tomorrow. So maybe an over on the outs or something like that.
Yeah. And the Brewers will face the guy that they received a lot of criticism for not going out and being aggressive and getting. All right, I'll give you the floor here. Last couple of minutes, boy, you got to really like baseball if you're watching either of these games without a bet. But that being said, Rangers minus 154 over the A's and the Angels minus 153 over the Royals. Both start in the next half hour. You like anything here? Side total, I'll give you the floor.
Yeah, and really quick too, let me at least say, I was watching that Brewers game a few moments ago before this show, right? Jacob Mizrowski went complete big boy. Like he was... he was bases loaded Otani at the plate. He went strikeout of Otani, strikeout of Freddie Freeman to get out of that inning, preserve the F5 if you had it there for the Brewers. So shout out to him and really just a big boy performance. I would say it again, man. Like when I watched that, I was like, wow, he really, I think solidified himself as one of the best pitchers in baseball. Just in that moment, I was like, wow, bases loaded, got out of it. So shout out to him there. And if you're watching that game, I'm sure maybe there's some live bets. But the thing about Mackenzie Gore, I was looking at because I was actually thinking about tacking some. I've been doing, I don't know if I've mentioned this to you guys, but I have mentioned it on this show. I've been doing the at bat strikeouts and trying to just pick out some hitters in each lineup instead of maybe saying, hey, Mackenzie Gore over, you know, 5.5 or 6.5, whatever it is a good bet. And then I'm sitting there with half of the lineup that's a 6%, 18%, you know, 19%, 20% strikeout rate, you know, trying to bank on the fact that some of these other hitters in here are going to give me strikeouts. Why don't we just pick out some of those hitters? So like a Henry Bolte, a Zach Geloff, Max Muncy, even, you know, right-handed batters for Mackenzie Gore have been his bread and butter for strikeouts this year. So you're looking at, you know, 28% on the year strikeout rate with a 13 to 14% swinging strike rate. That's actually bumped up a little bit, around to a 30% strikeout rate of late, with the swinging strike up to, you know, above 17% in his last 80 plate appearances against right-handed batters. Like, he's really been dominating them and getting himself his own strikes. So I think Bolte, Geloff, and Muncy, even could throw in Butler there in the left-on-left matchup. Those are some really, you know, nice strikeout targets. You can bet those on pretty much every book. I know Caesars, MGM, FanDuel, everybody's got them out there. So attack those individual batters, I think, with Mackenzie Gore. Right-handers, and then, hey, throw Butler in there in the left-on-left. Don't mind it. But it's the righties for Gore. If you ever see him against a lefty-heavy order, I wouldn't bet the strikeout.
He is Angelo Maglioka. He is the Major League Baseball analyst for CBS Sportsline. Angelo, all the best to you, even though you are a Yankees fan. And go cash some tickets. May the winners be yours, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. More baseball and NFL coming up next. VSiN.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Here in Franklin, Kentucky, for in the Mid-Gaming Hall, right above the Circus Sportsbook, where Kentucky Downs will have start their meet here in a couple of weeks. I am Brad Taylor, along with Will Hill. It is Live Bet Saturday, and we are keeping an eye on both NFL games right now. We are in the fourth quarter in Baltimore. 10-0 Ravens, and the Ravens have a first and goal at the Philly 4-yard line. And yes, looks like Philly or Baltimore will continue their streak even without John Harbaugh of covering point spreads in the preseason. But the game we're watching here on the NFL Network, the Dallas Cowboys, somehow, someway, even with the referees against them, are driving in Seattle territory. They are 1 yard short of a first down with 49 seconds left here in the second quarter. They are down 7-3. All we need is a field goal to get that first half under on a 3rd-and-1. And they run it up the middle to get the first down, and they get it to the 38-yard line. Clock is now stopped. Looks like they're going to call a timeout or something. Yes, the timeout is 45 seconds to go. Seattle 7, Dallas 3. Will and I both took Dallas getting 1.5 here in the first half. I took Dallas getting 3 for the game earlier today, but we don't care about that right now. We're caring about this game. So, yes, NFL preseason football is here, week 1, and we've got money on the line for this one, Will. Your thoughts on this game as we're going down final 45 seconds of the first quarter. Can we get that field goal with one of the best kickers in football to make this thing a 1-point margin at halftime?
Week 1 of the preseason, nonsense. This, to me, is the Super Bowl. I don't care. All the money spent is the same. A bet is a bet. Money's money. I want to get this plus 1.5 in the first half home. You got to think we're a favorite. We're on the right side of midfield. It's first down. We're catching 1.5. A field goal wins it for us. And we've got Aubrey on our side. Now, Jason Myers, who, you know, flirted with Super Bowl MVP last year, and a kicker's probably never going to win, but he was great in the Super Bowl. He's a really good kicker. He missed pretty much a chip shot on the other end, so we can't complain too much. We're in good shape to even have a shot here, but this would be a 55-yarder.
If you want to watch this,
we're
Will.
Throwing deep, and it is going to be caught for a touchdown. That's dual possession. That's got to be a touchdown. You can't call that interception. I'll walk off the show right now if they call that interception. Show me your two hands. That's a touchdown. Show them both. They changed the score. That's got to be a touchdown. We're in good shape. I think we're going to cash here, Brad.
One thing we got to see out of Will, sun's out, guns out, showing those biceps on the air. So props to you, Will Hill. We heard a lot about that at Bet Bash over a couple weeks ago. But yeah, this reminds me of when the replacement referees were in, doing the Seattle game. And one of them called a touchdown, and the other one called it a touchback. So yeah, we'll see what they call here. But it looks like we've got ourselves a touchdown and a first half cover. Yeah, this dollar that we make on this game, it has the same exact value as a dollar in the Super Bowl as they're lining up for the extra point now. Yeah.
By the way, like, great call. I thought the same thing, although it didn't didn't come to mind. It was kind of in the back of my head. That the what do they call it? The Fail Mary between the Packers and the Seahawks.
Fail Mary, yes.
That 2012, and I think it's the same building. I think that game, I can't remember if that was in Green Bay or Seattle, but I think it was in Seattle. But by the way, that was interference. How do we not call anything there? I mean, the guy's getting absolutely mauled, the receiver. No flag. But again, this is to show you no bias, because I don't care. We're going to cash our bet barring a miracle. How do you not call that? The guy's completely wrapped up. The ball's still in the air. But hey, all's well that ends well. And we're not even going to need, it looks like, the point and a half. 38 seconds left. So unless, you know, a busted play, a kickoff return, and you never count your chickens, we know that. But we are on the right side of it, to say the least here. So would be nice to steal this one. And 10-7, the Cowboys have the lead, Brad.
I can tell that Will Hill is so much happier now than he was just 4 minutes ago when when we came back from commercial and we didn't know if we were going to cover that point spread. It's amazing what winning a ticket will do to a sports bettor. I can promise you that. We are ready for the kickoff here, 38 seconds to go. And Aubrey will be kicking it off. Hopefully he kicks it through the back of the end zone, as he can, but we'll see what happens. So yeah, Will and I are very happy that we got a touchdown right at the end of the first half. Ravens did score, by the way, so they're now up 17-0 in that game as they enter the fourth quarter. As we do watch the kickoff, Seattle takes it at the 5. The only thing that'll beat us is a run back, and that's not what we need. And then they go down at the 28-yard line, 33 seconds to go, Will. I hope that we can kind of cash this ticket. We'll keep an eye on that, as we're also keeping an eye on the baseball games. We're through to the bottom of the eighth now in L.A. Still 4-1 in this game. So we saw scoring early, a couple of home runs from the Brewers early, and that's it. Mizorowski goes 6, strikes out 6, 98 pitches. His ERA down to 1.75 now. And if you look at the current Cy Young Award favorites, Mizorowski, minus 800. He did not hurt his cause tonight, Will, with going through that Dodgers lineup, especially blowing away Freeman at the when they needed to at the bottom of the fifth there to kind of go solar on that one. So there you go. Mizorowski is the man. Some other games in the major leagues right now, as we're keeping an eye on the Seahawks. It looks like they ran it to Milrow, ran it to about midfield. Yeah. We'll keep an eye on that in a second. Other baseball games now. Marlins up 7-4 of the Reds. Guardians up 6-1 on the Padres. Phillies going to end this one. Lizardo and the Phillies up 8-1 on the Twins. Mariners up 5-2 on the Astros. Diamondbacks, they're going to finish as a dog too, up 7-2 on the Braves. Red Sox still up 1-0 on the Pirates. Both pitchers pitched very well tonight. And Jones and Sonny Gray there. So those are the baseball scores. We got a couple games coming up shortly. We'll talk about those as soon as we get to halftime in Seattle, as Milrow is trying to scare the you-know-what out of us. Go ahead.
I said, do we have to talk about the baseball games? I mean, are people in their cars right now saying, man, I really want to hear about this Royals-Angels game? I know it's a betting network, and all these bets.
Well, the hardcore gamblers, that's what we are. Slate. We're watching football for the moment, though. We're watching football. 25 seconds left in the first half, and we're trying to cash a ticket. We hope that the listeners and the watchers of VSID, they were with us on this one. We hope they were, as we're trying to cash the tickets. Cowboys up 10-7. 25 seconds left, but of course, Roll Tide Milrow, who used to play at Alabama, of course, he's going to stick it to a Kentucky guy. They're on the 43-yard line, their own 43, so let's hope they don't get their own Fail Mary, as here is the snap, and Milrow is back, and he is going to take off, and he is sacked, but there's a flag down. We'll see what happens. That looks like the area of offensive holding. We will see that. 19 seconds remaining either way, and the referees, finally, the power of VSIN. No longer are we getting screwed by the referees here, Will. The referees have finally found a holding penalty on Seattle. Push them back, way back, as we like to say back in the day. So Seattle, hopefully, Not just going to go to the locker room now. Will, your thoughts? As it looks like we are 17 seconds away from cashing in an NFL preseason week one game, our parents would be proud.
Yeah, nothing. Just avoid disaster here. It is first and 25, so we'll see how aggressive with 19 seconds left. Again, this decimal thing, this 19.0 seconds, kind of throwing me off, but Milroe back to pass. He's getting absolutely just pressured left and right. He gets sacked. I would imagine Seattle, Mike McDonald, the coach, says, you know what, enough of this. I don't need my backup quarterback or potential backup quarterback getting his head ripped off in the first preseason game. Let's just go to the locker room. The clock is stopped with 4 seconds. I can't imagine why either team would want to
call
the
timeout.
Just go to the locker room, get out of here. Milroe has gotten absolutely teed off on the last two or three plays, and part of it's on him. I mean, he's holding the ball pretty long there, Brad. I mean, it's the NFL. This is not the SEC against, you know, Vanderbilt or Alabama State or something. You hold the ball for 3 or 4 seconds. You got to get rid of it. Somebody called a timeout with 13 seconds left, but it's going to be second and 29. 13 seconds left. Dallas leads 10-7. So I don't know what the purpose of any of this is. I guess just practicing situations. But, boy, if I'm Seattle, if I'm their coach, McDonald, I've seen about enough, and I'm ready to go to the locker room with my quarterback's head still intact here with the way he's gotten hit.
Well, let's see if his head remains still intact as they are lined up, ready to go on this big play. And there's the snap. Milroe back. He is under pressure again. He throws it short and inbounds. The receiver tries to get out of bounds. He does with 4 seconds left, but there is a flag down on the play. Oh, we will see what this call is. Of course, the old can't. Look at that. Another holding call on Seattle.
They can't
the
block
flag,
them.
The power of VSIN, Will. Them. The power of VSIN, Will, I'm telling you, as soon as you started talking about the penalties, they started piling up for on getting kind of back to even. You know what I'm saying? So we will keep an eye on this one as we're headed out right now. But if you think this is exciting, week zero of college football is coming up very quickly. Week zero is almost here. And, of course, with the regular season right behind it, now's the time to get your edge with VSIN Pro. Join VSIN Pro today. Get instant access to both our college football and NFL betting guides, packed with team previews, power ratings, and proven betting systems. Yeah, this is how you do it here on this show. So make sure to start today. $9.99, save 50% on the VSIN Pro annual subscription. That is VSIN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. It looks like we are now at halftime, though, in Seattle. And we finally cast our ticket, Will. Congratulations. We got our first half Cowboys plus .5. It's just like winning the Super Bowl. And that's what we try to do here on VSIN, cashing tickets. And we'll try to cash some more coming up next here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Here in Franklin, Kentucky, right above the Circus Sportsbook at the Mint Gaming Hall. This is Live Bet Saturday here on VSIN. I am Brad Taylor along with Will Hill as we are taking you through a night of the NFL and a lot of Major League Baseball going on. But I will say right now, Will, NFL Network is showing highlights from the Vikings and the Giants. Little Birdie told me that you're a big fan of the Minnesota Vikings. So after today's 13-10 win of the Vikings over the Giants, are we going to put even more money on the over the win total for the Vikings for this year now that Kyler Murray is officially your starter?
I mean, this doesn't really change how I feel about them, but you just kind of try to get in, get out, not have many injuries. But I do like the team, and usually I'm pessimistic on them, and that's been that's probably been the good instinct following this team all these years. But it reminds me a little bit of 2 years ago where everything's kind of there. You got the defense, you got the skill guys. It's just, can we get anything out of the quarterback? And they brought in Sam Darnold, the reclamation project, and he was pretty good. He won 14 games for him. I know it fell apart at the end of the season, but Kyler Murray's kind of the same thing where I don't care how down on Kyler Murray you are. They had last year, Max Brosmer, Carson Wentz, and JJ McCarthy was awful. They still went 9-8. Murray, even in his sleep, is going to be leaps and bounds better than that as long as he's healthy. I mean, is it possible the Vikings win 11, maybe 12 games? They avoid the Rams. They avoid the Seahawks. They play the Packers in week one. Micah Parsons isn't going to be back. Flores is a tremendous coach. I think O'Connell's a pretty good coach, maybe a little overrated, but it reminds me a little bit of 2 years ago. I think Minnesota, a little over 5-1, is worth a shot here to win the division. And if you really want a long shot, a pizza money bet, 22-1, 24-1 in that range to be the one seed. They were a game away a couple years ago when Darnold just was awful in Detroit. I think Minnesota is very live to bounce back. There was a lot of hype around them last year coming off the good year. They're a little bit under the radar this year. I think they really have a shot here to be kind of a sneaky good team.
By the way, next week is a Saturday afternoon game. It'll be on before we're on. Baltimore at Minnesota. That is week 2 of preseason. No line officially up on that yet, but we will keep an eye on that as we go forward here. So, yeah, Will Hill is high on the Yankees, high on the Vikings. What a shocker as we are here on Live Bet Saturday looking at
I don't know how high on the Yankees I am. I think if they got their guys back, they're dangerous. I wouldn't say I'm high on them.
Okay, so people at home need to understand. You like to twist my words.
You and my wife would get along quite well.
I would never do such a thing to you, Will. How dare you? Let the record show that the only topic on during the commercials is the Yankees on this show. I don't care who's the guest. I don't care who's in my ear. It's the Yankees all during the commercials. Do I get sick and tired of it? I can't say that on national TV. But let's just say Will needs his own Yankee hour here on VSiN. We'll put that on like at 2:30 in the morning or something when everybody's asleep. But we do have other things going on. We're at halftime in the NFL games, and Baltimore looks like they're about to finish this off. They're up 17-0 on the Eagles right now. 5:43 remaining in that game. Major League Baseball right now. We're not going to talk about the games that are going to start for a minute. Brewers still up on the Dodgers, 4-1, going to the bottom of the ninth. We will see how the Brewers, if they can close this off. And a game we've been talking about all night. They just completed the eighth inning. They're going to the top of the ninth. Red Sox still up 1-0 on the Pirates. The Red Sox scored at the top of the second, and that's been it. And they've been playing this game for 3 hours, all to a scoreless fashion. So the big games tonight, we thought, were Red Sox and Pirates, Brewers and Dodgers. The score has been the same for about 2 hours in both these games. Anything you see that might change in these two games going forward, Will?
Not really, and we've been watching a lot of the Cowboys-Seahawks game. By the way, the second half line is up. Seahawks a slight favorite, minus a half a point, minus 120 on the money line. I would much prefer minus 120 on the money line because with a total of 17, you're not expecting much scoring. You know what? If it's a scoreless half, you want to get your money back. You don't want to lose on the tie. But, yeah, where was this? Where was all this scoreless action when we just needed one out, one strike, 0-2 count, first three under? We could have cashed that one. Ohtani gets an RBI triple. That's the only Dodger run, but the Brewer lead is held up. We did have a first three under with Boston Pittsburgh, and man, it feels like we started this show 4 hours ago. The game was 1-0, and here we are all these hours later, and it's still 1-0. But big pennant races. The Orioles, after blowing the save, hang on. They win in extras, so there is now, Brad, I think this is probably the most interesting thing to me in all these pennant races, division, wild card, awards, whatever. A 5-way tie for the final wild card spot. All of these teams, 3 games under .500, the Blue Jays, the Orioles, the Twins, the Tigers, and there's one I'm missing here. Oh, the Rangers, which are an easy team to forget. But I can't remember this late in the year, a 5-way tie for a playoff spot. So your guess is as good as mine. I guess I'd favor the Tigers just because of the run differential, the talent. I don't know Scooble, no Mize, but that's going to be a fascinating race here to watch here the last 6 or so weeks of the season.
And at the All-Star break, I wouldn't have given you any chances on the Orioles and the Tigers and some of these other teams, the Twins too even, and the Guardians and the Mariners being out of it at this point. That's something that's another thing altogether. So you're right. This is a crazy race among, 7 teams here. 5 of them tied, 2 of them just 1 and 3 games back respectively. Where are the Mariners, and how did they get in this mess? I think that's the key question that we'll be asking here. So we'll keep an eye on those baseball games. I'm contractually obligated to ask you, Will. There are 2 more games coming up, Royals and Angels, yeah. Rangers Athletics. Do you have an opinion on any of those before we move back on to the other sports?
I don't. Angels properly favored. Detmers is better than Dobnak, but do I want to sit here and spend my Saturday night laying a big price with the Angels? I don't. I try to stay away from these Sacramento games. I like Gore and Ginn. I specifically like Ginn, but you know, these games in Sacramento, it's almost like betting the games in Coors. You might as well play the games on the moon. The environment for hitting and for offense is just so different in Sacramento, where if you like the pitchers, even if you like the, you know, the under, it's just hard to actually get to the window with it. So I'll pass here. I think that the lines are about right. I would, if I had to bet one of these, boy, I would lean under in oil in Angels Royals. I just don't know if they have the bullpen. So I'm going to pass. I'm not going to give out something I'm not going to bet. There's plenty of stuff to bet, plenty of stuff to bet live, you know, totals with these preseason games. I'd actually lean Seattle in the second half in the NFL game, but I'm not forcing anything in the baseball. How about you? If you had to bet anything, would you bet anything here these last two baseball games?
As crazy as it sounds, Will, and you just gave a very fact-filled and completely correct analysis of games in Sacramento. I'm going under in Texas and in the Athletics, under the 9.5 here in this one. Oof. The monies are split right down the middle here, but both, neither one of these teams are really scoring a lot right now, even the Rangers who are fighting for a playoff spot. The Athletics, yeah, where is Nick Kurtz when you need him? But, yeah, the Athletics, I'm going to go under in that game, under the 9.5 in that one. That's the only way I'm going to play these games. But like you, I'm looking forward to tomorrow. By the way, a game tomorrow. We talked about the big pitching matchups. Skeens is going against Boston. We saw Scoobles going against Milwaukee. But I'm going to set you up here, Will. I'm like Lucy holding the ball for Charlie Brown. How in the world are the Yankees even money against Toronto and Dylan Cease tomorrow in Toronto?
Probably a little too much respect for the Yankees. The Yankees tax, you see it in the futures market, and I think you see it here on Sunday. I know the Blue Jays, their offense isn't exactly lighting the world on fire. I'm going to go back to the well, something I've been talking about for a week, a little bit more. Under on the Yankees games. Every time you look up, Brad, one of these Yankees games, it's 1-0 in the sixth, it's 2-1 in the seventh. It's just painful trying to get any offense out of them. I know you could say, hey, they're due to bust out and score 6 or 7 runs in a game, and they did that the other night against Seattle, but they've got good pitching. They don't have much offense, and I don't know that the market is properly accounting for either one. So if it's not broken, don't break it, or however the saying goes, under 7.5, Yankees Jays is a play for me.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That is what Will Hill is looking for. Go. As we're about to kick off the second half here in Seattle, they're all lined up and ready to go. And the Cowboys getting +3 before the game and under that 37.5. Those look decent, like decent plays as we're kicking off, as Dallas will now run it back. And we'll see, let's see how far they get. They get to the 27, and they'll go down, and that's where they'll start here in the second half. So we're going to keep an eye on this as we get towards the end of Live Bet Saturday here, but preseason football, as you can hear on this show, it is back. And it's time to book your trip to Las Vegas. Winner's Circle Proxy is VSIN's preferred proxy service. After your required in-person registration, they handle your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere. One trip to Vegas, play all season long. Schedule your appointment now at winnerscircleproxy.com. I can speak from personal experience. The last 2 years, I've gone to Vegas. I've signed up with Winner's Circle Proxy, and they have handled my picks perfectly each of the last 2 years, including when I had DeMarcado and the Arizona Cardinals last year in Survivor. And am I still bitter about that? You're darn right I am, but it's not Winner's Circle's fault. Winner's Circle's proxy service. Check them out today. Winnerscircleproxy.com. Coming up next, let's get to some best bets we have maybe going for tomorrow, and we'll try to keep an eye on this football game here in Seattle. This is Live Bet Saturday right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
And down the stretch they come here in Franklin, Kentucky, at the Mint Gaming Hall, right above the Circus Sportsbook. I am Brad Taylor along with Will Hill as we're coming down the stretch for another Live Bet Saturday, our first of many this football and college basketball season, we hope. So we are watching these games going on right now. Dallas. And it is Milton, second half. Hal played the first half. Milton is now playing the second half for Dallas. And he's kind of got the Dallas Cowboys going right now, as he's going to throw a pass, a quick screen pass, and he's got him to midfield. 12 minutes to go in the third quarter. Cowboys 10, Seahawks 7. And we just got an, oh, by the way, touchdown by the Eagles in Baltimore. 24-7 now, 2:14 remaining in that game. That didn't have a whole lot of emphasis on the total here, but Philly went in a 3.5-point favorite, and they are losing by 17. Did we learn anything today in the NFL in terms of wagering other than we knew the Cowboys had it all along, didn't we, Will?
No, I mean, I think if you're making, you know, conclusions from the first preseason game, you're probably overreacting. As much as you and I have enjoyed betting this, watching this, if you're changing your mind on a team, you know, barring injury and barring major injury, you're probably, you know, not doing this right and putting a little too much emphasis on on these games. But you always hear like, oh, football is back, and to some people that's the Hall of Fame game. To other people, it's, you know, week one of the regular season. To me, it's this weekend when you finally get multiple preseason games a day. That Thursday night where you get six games, last night you had a few more, and tonight and today you had a bunch. Now it feels like football is back. That being said, after a week or two of the preseason, you kind of get sick of it and just like, all right, enough of the non-alcoholic beer. Get me the real stuff. Get me to the regular season. But 2 weeks from now, we're going to be sweating college football. So it does feel back here as Dallas is matriculating. Milton, who I know a lot of people like, a lot of skills, arm talent, can run a little. He's got the Cowboys right on the fringe of the red zone. Cowboys up 10-7. They have the ball. They have the lead. And there's about 10 minutes left in the third quarter here as we are underway in the second half in Seattle.
So there you go, folks. Will Hill with words to live by when it comes to that. By the way, overreaction theater between week one and week two of the NFL season. Nothing more drastic, because week one, we see a team lose, they'll never just bet against them from here on. And we see a team win, and they're going to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, overreaction theater. I don't think we get it in the preseason as much as we do week one. But, yeah, it does occur, especially in the NFL, when you only have 17 games to choose from. By the way, Major League Baseball, Brewers finish it off. Ashby with the save in this one. Mizorowski now 12-5, 1.75 ERA. Minus 800 for the Cy Young. Brewers, yeah. That's not good news for the Cubs fans. Are we still on board with the Cubs catching the Brewers here in this division?
Today didn't help. Anytime you got one team facing the Dodgers and you're the Cubs, you're supposed to take care of business against the Cardinals as big favorites. And instead of picking up a game or it's neutral, you drop a game. That's not great, but still a long way to go. Still got a bunch of games head-to-head. So not happy with how today went, but not jumping off the Cubs train. I still think the Cubs are live to make this very interesting here with Milwaukee in the Central.
By the way, the other game we kind of had a little bit of an eye on, Red Sox have three at the top of the ninth now. They're up 4-0 on the Pirates. Luke Weaver giving up all those. So the Yankees, very intelligent to get rid of Luke Weaver when they did, to give him to the Pirates for a bucket of balls or whatever. But it doesn't end tonight, Will. We've got games, baseball games tomorrow. We got all kinds of stuff going on. Do you have any best bets going forward that maybe we can get a little money on ourselves and try to ride your coattails all the way to bankroll stardom?
I like the Yankees under. I've been a broken record with this with the last week or so, but they can't hit, and they've got really good pitching. So it's hard to go over, even though 7.5 is a low total. It's hard to go over 7.5 when you can't score and you got really good pitching. I know it's not one of their better pitchers going on Sunday with Weathers, but that's probably balanced out by the fact that Cease, who's right there for American League Cy Young, goes for Toronto. So just feels like every time you look up at one of these Yankee games, it's the sixth or seventh inning, it's 1-0, it's 2-1. It's just painful trying to get runs across if you're the Yanks. So with all these injuries on offense and this good pitching staff, under 7.5, I'll go back to the well here. That's a play for me, Yankees and Blue Jays.
Some games I like tomorrow. I'm going to keep fading Paul Skeens. I'm not sure why the Pirates are favored in this game tomorrow. And they're currently, most places, they're about a minus 119 is the Pirates over Boston. I know Boston probably won't have to use Chapman tonight now that they're up 4-0. And maybe they'll save him for a potential save for tomorrow. So, yeah, I'm going to take Boston tomorrow against Paul Skeens. And one other game that I kind of like for tomorrow, we'll lay a little chalk with the Houston Astros. Hunter Brown's kind of back against Ric Flair's favorite pitcher, Brian woo, for the Mariners. We'll take the Astros tomorrow. So Astros and Boston, those are my two favorites. One dog, one favorite in the world of Major League Baseball. Well, Will, it's been 4 hours almost. We got 5 minutes to go. Did we learn anything on this show today at all in the world of sports gambling? Did we learn anything? Maybe not in terms of, you know, things to go forward, but just learn anything from a sports gambler that we could put in the old book of sports gambling.
No, we sat here, we bet, we watched these games, we had a good time. Hopefully the audience had a good time, but we learned absolutely nothing in these 4 hours. So it's a shame. Maybe next week we will, but I don't know. My big takeaway, I can't get over this American League wildcard race. I mean, when do you see this late in the year, a five-way tie for the final spot? That is really interesting. It's really bizarre. And you can bet like who's going to be the sixth seed. And I keep going back to the Tigers just because of the run differential. And I still think there's a lot of talent there as the Cowboys are in the end zone here. So a good start to the second half for America's team. It's 16-7, extra point pending. I'm sure Dave Ross is just hurting his thumb firing in those Cowboys futures, but Dallas with a nice start to the second half and a touchdown as they are looking to extend their lead from 9-7 with an extra point. A one-handed catch. Couldn't tell who that was. Don't recognize them, but Dallas here looking to go up, or they are up two scores. But how about you? Did you learn anything, any takeaways here from this day, either baseball or football?
I learned never to set anybody up on this show to talk about the Yankees because it'll get out of hand very quickly. So I learned that. And to quote manager Lou Brown, the guy who caught that touchdown, he'll be bagging groceries in a couple of weeks, as we like to say in the preseason. I don't know, though. We talk about like people who make the big deal in preseason. The last one that I saw that really did it was Victor Cruz. I don't know if you remember that preseason he had with the Giants.
That's the name. As you started the sentence, that was the guy that jumped to my head because I think it was three touchdowns on Monday Night Football. They were playing the Jets, and it ended up materializing a year or two later. So that's funny. That's the one that jumps out to me where nobody'd ever heard of him. He makes a name for himself, and it wasn't just one of those preseason stories. Yeah, he kind of flamed out quickly, but won a Super Bowl, I think, with the Giants and, you know, was a Pro Bowler. It became a big star. It was kind of short-lived, but that's one. That's a good recall. I was on the same wavelength with you.
He was one of those guys, if you play fantasy football, he went totally undrafted. Nobody had him. Nobody had any faith in him. And then after week one, he was about as good as anybody going down the stretch. He had a couple thousand-yard seasons. Yeah, so he did there. But that's the one guy, I remember, that just did it that preseason, and then, boom, he carried it over to the regular season, too. Excuse me.
You're getting all choked up thinking about it. Yes.
Yeah, I can. It's tough to get over stuff like that when you're cashing tickets like that. So you're right. Cowboys up 17-7 now. It's over now in Baltimore, 24-7. Ravens win. So act accordingly if you cash your tickets there. So there you go, Will. Come this time, 2 weeks from now, it'll be week zero of the college football season. And then next week at this time, I'm looking at the schedule right now. And on the 22nd, we have, once again, several games. We have Philadelphia, New England, Chicago, Cincinnati, Kansas City, Tampa, and Dallas and Arizona again. So this time next week, we'll have four games that we'll be watching on all these TVs and try to come up with some winners. So just be ready, Will, because we need some winners out of you. So there you go, Will. Your final word on the Live Bet Saturday here today.
I'm starving. I haven't eaten. I didn't eat a couple hours before the show, so I'm excited to grab a late night bite to eat before I wake up early and do the show with Jastrzemski tomorrow morning. What's on your menu? What are you doing for dinner here after the show?
Oh, I'm going to have a little, me and my boys are going to have a little meal coming up here if I can get my earpiece back in. Okay. We're going to have a little meal and kind of make a night out of it, get back middle of the night, maybe sort of, just so we can kind of cash it in and say we did something and had a nice meal.
No,
it's the
specific.
First Live Bet Saturday
steak,
of the year.
Chicken, what do we got?
Oh, we're going to do some steak. Probably some steak, unless they wimp out and want to go pizza. But for me, it's always steak. And when I go out to Vegas in a couple weeks, I'm going to get one of those Harry's Steakhouse $100 10-ounce New York strips. I can promise you that, just like we did last time. Will Hill, it's the first of many once again this year. We appreciate you, buddy. All the best to you. We thank you.
Great to see you, man. Was a fun show, and looking forward to it next week. So we'll have plenty of baseball, plenty of football, and football is back. Anytime you get these games these days where you got multiple football games, it's great to just have it back and be able to watch it, be able to bet it, and be able to sweat these games out.
Coming up next, Cashing Out with Doug Gazarian. He has some great guests coming up. Jared Bailey, Michael Calabrese, Spencer Aguiar, and yes, Greg Peterson. Also, tomorrow morning, Will Hill will be back with John Dostrepsky. Make sure to text Dostrepsky. Check him out 9 a.m. tomorrow, and then Ready, Set, Bet. That's all right here on VSiN, the sports.